But vaccination rates are declining in many states. The spread of variants could have been prevented if enough people had been quickly vaccinated, but hesitancy, largely along partisan lines, prevented this. Experts still point to widespread vaccination as the best way to control the severity of coronavirus outbreaks, which may continue to be a fixture of American life. Rather than ending the pandemic entirely, the focus of those experts is now on controlling the virus to mitigate hospitalization and death. Weather in Washington, D.C. right now is 85 degrees and mostly cloudy. In New York City, it's 68 degrees and partly cloudy. For WPFW in Washington and WBAI in New York, I'm Amar Evering.
Mind Flight with Imhotep Gary Bird, your gateway to the Black experience with local, national, international stops, soul traveling, wherever the winds of change take us. And those winds are going to be taking us on a journey through time. In this instance, to salute a giant in the forest. Some would say the tallest tree in the forest. Inside of Radio GBE, we were acknowledging the birthday of Paul Robeson, actor, singer, athlete, minister, and activist, born in this area in the tri-state in Princeton, New Jersey. That was April 9th, 1898. He finished Lincoln University, became a Presbyterian minister, obtained a law degree from Columbia University. But man, that's like, as they say, that's just the quick headlines. There's a lot more to the revolutionary Paul Robeson, which we will explore inside of our broadcast at WBAI. This is a brother who ultimately has influenced so many within the sphere of his own work in the arts, but at the same time, obviously, in relationship to many in terms of their understanding and appreciation of Pan-Africanism. We'll have a chance to explore that through an incredible documentary package that we are presenting on WBAI as part of our fundraising drive. We will be spotlighting the revolutionary Paul Robeson. It's a package of four DVDs. That's four DVDs and two CDs. Compliments of Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash of Building Bridges, of course, heard right here at WBAI. With their particular interest and focus on the issue of labor and the recognition of labor throughout the decades. This is a very well put together piece that has immediate ramifications to where we are right now, from the issues of racism and economics to so many other different dimensions. This is a very, very important moment for us to take a look back at the revolutionary Paul Robeson. Wherever you are in New York City, New Jersey, Connecticut, across the USA, to the West Coast, Los Angeles, Oakland, Houston, Atlanta, Memphis, up in my territory, as Herb in my place, the Great Lakes, talking about Buffalo, Detroit, Rochester, Cleveland, the Windy City, Chicago, a bunch of y'all folks up there, some of y'all down in the Southland as well, Atlanta, Dallas, Houston, New Orleans, and on to the Caribbean, South America, or Brazil, into the motherland. In Africa, from Accra, West Africa, to Nairobi, Kenya, on down to Cape Town, and to our brothers and sisters up north in Toronto, up again in my neck of the woods, because I was almost born in Canada, y'all, trust me, okay? To all of you, wherever you are, listening at WBAI.org, welcome, Akwaba. It is a welcoming moment to our broadcast tonight as we get the opportunity of moving through a pretty dense environment of issues that are going on Obviously, on our Friday night broadcast, we had a chance to talk about, and our Sunday morning broadcast, which is done down the Dow, about the issue of the Derek Chauvin court decision in the George Floyd case and what importance it may have in terms of impacting policing in the black community and in communities of people of color. Also, still exploring your positions on taking the COVID-19 vaccine. And do you agree with the idea of mandatory vaccine passports for entry into places of employment, local businesses, schools, ticketed events, travel? Oof. Yeah, we are in a zone. There's no doubt about that. We are also sending out our words of condolence and acknowledgement of the passing of our colleague, a communicator and a community activist as well, broadcast commentator and attorney Midwin Charles, passed, as some of you are aware and been hearing on MSNBC and CNN, where she was a regular contributor. We are sending our condolences out to her family, friends and fans, and also on the fans and family side to Grammy Award winning actor, rapper DMX in the broadcast tonight. Yeah, it's a moment that we are all attempting to wrap our heads around. No question about that. And our prayers are moving still through the air for the people of St. Vincent, who have been hit by a devastating volcano, which has ultimately now also knocked out a lot of power, evacuation from the island as well. And obviously, it'll be very, very heavy demands in relationship to giving support to that situation, to the thousands of people who are out of their homes. And we will certainly look forward to being a part of that effort. He said to be free, to walk the good American earth as equal citizens, to live without fear, to enjoy the fruits of our toil, to give our children every opportunity in life. That dream, which we have so in our hearts today, the destiny that we hold in our hands. Those are the words spoken by the late Paul Robeson, who we salute tonight in an amazing presentation called The Revolutionary Paul Robeson. Again, 4 DVDs and 2 CDs tonight for a donation of just $150 to your radio station, WBAI, in the name of this broadcast. And ultimately, with those of you who, if you will, frequent various positions and programs on WBAI, we are asking you to keep those donations coming. We understand the donation level was pretty good in relationship to what we were attempting to do with the deadlines that we were facing. But those deadlines have not changed. So we still need your support in the days ahead. 212-209-2950 is the telephone number for those of you who like to move in that direction by phone. 212-209-2950 to work out your donations, which are tax-free, and it puts you in a position where in relationship to that $150 for this premium tonight, you can break that up into any kind of payment plan that you want. We take all major credit cards. I'm sure we should take the minor ones too, but we take all of your credit cards in terms of, you know, whichever way you need to show your support for WBI, whatever's going to work for your budget. $150 for, in this instance, a portrait of Paul Robeson's remarkable and revolutionary life, and through it, the story of the 20th century's great political struggles against racism, against colonialism, and against poverty. Tonight, inside of Radio GBE and our Mind Flight, we take you back in time to experience another GBE, a giant of the black experience, the revolutionary Paul Robeson.
Of a flag I see, a certain word, a democracy. What is America to me? The house I live in, the friends that I have found, the folks beyond the railroad, and the people all around, the worker and the farmer, the sailor on the sea, the men who built this country, that's America to me. Of old Abe Lincoln, of Jefferson and Payne, of Washington and Jackson, and the tasks that still remain. The little bridge at Concord, where freedom's fight began, our Gettysburg and Midway, and the story of the Tan. The house I live in, my neighbors white and black, the people who just came here, often generations back. The town hall and the soapbox, the torch of liberty, a home for all God's children, that's America to me. The house I live in, the goodness everywhere, a land of wealth and beauty, with enough for share, a house that we call freedom, the home of liberty, but especially the people, that's America to me, but especially the people, that's the true America.
I come from a slave father, not grandfather, a slave father, born in eastern North Carolina in 1843, escaped from slavery in 1858, a contemporary co-fighter with Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, John Brown, Sojourner Truth, and William Lloyd Garrison for the freedom not only of the Negro people, but of millions of white workers caught in the same serfdom as their black brothers and sisters. So our brothers and sisters from Mexico, the Philippines, from the lands of Asia, from the West Indies, from Latin America, have come to these shores to share the same fate. And all through our history, the working masses, colored and white, speaking many languages, representatives of the finest of the old and new world cultures, have had to fight every step of the way for a decent wage, for decent homes, for decent education for their children, for human dignity itself.
John Brown died that the slaves might be free. John Brown died that the slaves might be free. John Brown died that the slaves might be free. His soul goes marching on.
The 20s, 30s, and 40s were a time when blacks in America, even in New York City, were living in a kind of almost apartheid situation, where in the South you had literally Jim Crow and disenfranchisement. People couldn't vote. But even in New York City, where hotels and restaurants and theaters were closed to many black people, where you couldn't live where you wanted, where you couldn't get jobs for your education. And yet this is in the middle of a society which is talking about its role as a beacon of democracy in the world. And it's also a period when black people are educated enough so that they are enraged by the contradictions.
You can't grow up black in America and not, to some extent, be aware of indignities and injustices. Though Robeson, in some sense, had a privileged life, that is, he went to a university, and his talents were early recognized, nonetheless, he suffered his share of indignities.
Especially because of my grandfather's slave background. He impressed that on my father. You got to open doors for those not so fortunate as you. You're talented. You're in a position to not only make something of yourself, but to advance the cause of black people in this country. And in that context, you have an obligation to contribute to humanity as a whole. I think my father got his notion, which runs throughout his life, of one human family, the oneness of humankind, from his father. Well, the first time he went to England was as early as 1922. He was still in law school, brief trip. But he went to Europe to make his base there in 1927, specifically. He was then a young black artist who found that he did not have the opportunities in America that he would in Europe, and decided to make his base in Europe, as many black artists of that time did. During his film career, in particular, he met many Africans on the set, for example, of Sanders of the River. Among the extras in Sanders of the River was Jomo Kenyatta, the famous burning spear who then became the first president of Kenya. So culturally, he was drawn to the Africans on the set, found his African roots, you might say, and became radicalized by the African anti-colonial fighters of that time, like Jomo Kenyatta.
Paul Robeson had always shown some interest in African people through the songs, because he saw very early the African roots of the spirituals that became the main songs of his repertoire.
Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child.
The Soviet Union through a cultural route, primarily. He was invited there by Sergei Eisenstein, a great film director who wanted to do a film on to St. Leon Vitcher titled Black Majesty. And he was struck by the fact that there was no prejudice and that their attitude towards the darker peoples of the Soviet Union, for instance, Uzbeks, Kazakhs, those from Central Asia, who were quite dark, incidentally, was certainly not like it was in the U.S., that he felt respected, as he put it, as a human being for the first time. Not just because he was a great artist or a famous singer or something like that.
For Paul Robeson, his first trip to the Soviet Union, he said, for the first time I could breathe free. I was a human being. I didn't see color. This is 1934. Robeson goes to the Soviet Union for the first time. For the first time I could relax. That's a profound statement. And I've heard many black Americans who went to the Soviet Union, some who didn't become communists, say that. For the first time, they went to a place where color prejudice didn't poison interpersonal relationships. Because you got to remember, the whole Western world was shaped by colonial rule over non-white peoples. This is true of, you know, England and France and Spain and of the United States as well. The United States, in some ways, had the worst manifestation of this because everybody in the United States was color conscious.
There was mass unemployment in those days. Factories were closed. The condition of sharecroppers down there, which engulfed the bulk of my people, forced into deeper and deeper poverty, greater unemployment, And if, say, you own no property, how many sharecroppers, how many black men and women could own property? In those days, you could not vote. The Republican and Democratic parties were lily white to the extreme and took no practical steps whatsoever to put an end to this type of Jim Crow segregation and discrimination, which was the lot of my people. To see the Communist Party act as it did, calling for protest action, arguing that we can win in the fight, drew me to the Communist Party.
He saw with his own two eyes, or believed he saw, that socialism and communism could transcend racial prejudice. If he lived in the United States, he had no experience with a movement or a political culture where racism had been overcome. Once he goes to the Soviet Union and participates in international communist circles, he really believes that here is the key to ending racial discrimination and to securing African liberation.
I met my brother the other day.
Listening to WBAI New York, Imhotep Gary Bird's GBE, Mind Flight, your gateway to the Black experience, where we're now taking you through a time experience. We're back in the time of the great Paul Robeson. He was born in Princeton, New Jersey, April 9th. We are saluting his spirit from, in this case, 1898 to 2021, celebrating the revolutionary Paul Robeson. And we're doing it with an incredible presentation from Building Bridges, 4 DVDs and 2 CDs, yours for a donation of $150 to your radio station, WBAI. Remember, it's a tax deductible donation, and you can do it on any credit card that you want, PayPal, however you'd like to do it, and you can set up even any payment arrangements that will fit your budget. We want you to have this as a part of your home edutainment center. Again, 212-209-2950 is the direct number to reach us, to call our operators, and to set up your moment in terms of adding the revolutionary Paul Robeson to your home edutainment center. 4 DVDs, 2 CDs, a donation of $150 in the name of this broadcast, Radio GBE, Gateway to the Black Experience on WBAI. And now back to the revolutionary Paul Robeson at WBAI.
Even though Robeson is an interpretive artist, what he does when he comes back to the United States is he shapes a new image of American life based upon his repertoire and the type of songs he sings and the commentary he intersperses with those songs. What Robeson says as a concert artist is America was made by poor people and slaves of all the countries of the world, that the English and the Welsh and the Irish came here as indentured servants and slaves, just as the Africans. The Eastern Europeans came as desperately poor workers. The Chinese came. And we, all of us, built America. America. It was a country built by the oppressed of the world. Culturally, this is the real America, and we have to make this politically the real America.
Dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he. I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night. You're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he. I never died, says he.
Robeson. Robeson, by the late 30s, questions whether the struggle is fascism versus the Western democracies, because he begins to question what democracy means in the West. He becomes increasingly to believe that the Western democracies are imperialistic, that the democracies are for a limited few and at the expense of colonial peoples in Asia and in Africa and in the United States.
Any man or state who fights against Nazism will have our aid. Any man or state who marches with Hitler is our foe. That is our policy. And that is our declaration. It follows, therefore, that we shall give whatever help we can to Russia and to the Russian people.
He lent his name, he lent his energy to the war drive. He talked in many black schools, churches, factories, encouraging blacks to mobilize behind the war effort, saying, this struggle is for our freedom. If fascism wins, there isn't any way black people will ever be free.
When thousands of soldiers returned from Europe at the end of 45 and from the East, they took a very strong position that they ought not to have been fighting, as they put it, yellow men, in order that white men could be free. And that freed them to say, we are simply not going to ride in the back of buses anymore.
You have in American society many different bases for a right wing, and when they all come together, they can be rather ferocious. There is what I call the opportunistic right wing, composed of business leaders, investors groups, well-connected political leaders who saw an opportunity to weaken trade unions, to try to set the stage for American investment and capital to operate more freely and increase its profitability. And these people see any impediment to the investment and maneuverability of capital as an obstacle to their power and wealth. And these people saw anti-communism as something that would put them back in the driver's seat.
This means a special relationship between the British Commonwealth and Empire and the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, this is no time for generality, and I will venture to be precise. Nobody knows what Soviet Russia and its Communist International Organization intends to do in the immediate future. From Stettin in the Baltic to Trieste in the Adriatic, an iron curtain has descended across the continent.
I think the change after 1945 in the Churchill speech that seemed to have set it in motion is that the honeymoon with Russia was over, and the tolerance and the honeymoon with the left in America was over. And capitalist America was ready to go back and do business at the old stand.
What happened in these years, though, is saying 1945 and 46, Robeson and many others in the United States were becoming increasingly concerned about what looked like a turn back toward Anglo-American imperialism and colonialism.
Never surrendering until made to do so, the imperialists concoct a so-called bold new program to not so subtly enslave once and for all Southeast Asia, Africa, Latin America, the West Indies. But they overlook the terrific tensions and the awakening of the colonial peoples. Again, the answer will and must be no. The big cartel boys won't be saved this way either.
That is, during the testimony on the Nixon bill, asked Robeson, are you saying you would be disloyal to the United States in case of a war with the Soviet Union? Robeson said, I'm fighting for peace. He said, I'm not interested in discussing questions of war. He said, but if the globe divides in terms of pro and anti-fascist, which is my central concern, he said, I'm on the side of the anti-fascists. And of course, they pressed him further. Does that mean that you would not automatically agree to serve your country in wartime? And he said, I hope I would do what Frenchmen did during World War II in response to their own Vichy government. If it was a pro-fascist government, I would not support it.
It's the revolutionary Paul Robeson tonight inside of Radio GBE, a Building Bridges production, and in this instance taking us through a time warp to experience a history that, remember, is pre-civil rights movement history in terms of the civil rights movement that many of us grew up in terms of from the 50s and the 60s. We're talking about going back and seeing a set of circumstances in which, as you heard Brother Robeson indicate, you know, a family that had a direct link to slavery, and at the same time, a situation in which his father sent him on a mission to help and to support his brothers and sisters. Those are the roots of the revolutionary Paul Robeson. This amazing premium from Building Bridges, Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash, is yours for a donation of $150. $150. And for those of you who are supporting WBAI and who recognize the moment that we're in, as they say, it is well worth it. This is a powerful addition to what I always call your home edutainment center. Mr. Robeson, a world-famous singer, actor, trained lawyer, early star of American professional football. I mean, really, if you'd almost have to, like, actually, if you said it to someone who didn't know, they'd think you were making him up. That is the incredible aspect of his life. And yet, with all of his success, he still had the higher calling of social justice, which caused him to abandon the NFL and Hollywood to become one of the most political activists in the history of this country. Joining me tonight inside of the broadcast, so you can hear by our Great Lakes theme what's going on, is my brother, Hall of Fame award-winning journalist, best-selling author, Brother Herb Boyd. We are both of the, him and myself, making room in this instance for the biggest tree in the forest, so to speak, Paul Robeson, in the broadcast tonight at WBAI. Greetings, Herb. How you doing?
Oh, very good. My goodness. It's such a remarkable moment, you know, to celebrate and put the highlight, the spotlight, you know, on this man who was just a phenomenal. He was all like a force of nature. I mean, like you say, if you told someone about it, man, they said, come on, you know, you're creating this somebody, you know? I said, no. He existed. He existed in such a powerful way for the whole world, because he was a citizen of the world.
Yes, he was. What did he speak, Herb, about 11 or 12 languages, if I remember correctly, something like that?
Oh, my goodness. You know, and doing the kind of fluency of language, and also the fluency of politics, the fluency of culture, the fluency of music. I mean, he was just all over the place, you know, in terms of going to law school, whether it was like putting on a football helmet, a baseball bat, or a basketball, or running track. He did every sport. He had, like, I guess 15 letters, you know, coming out of the university, you know. I mean, good gracious. And then on the debating team, and then his oratorical skills was extraordinary. I'm glad you saluting and paying attention to, in terms of his birthday, his birth date having been April the 9th. In my classroom column, I'm featuring his father, William Drew Robeson.
When you shared what you shared with us, walking through that amazing family tree that you did a moment ago, I talk often about the whole idea of people having a home edutainment center, and premiums like this one, the revolutionary Paul Robeson from Building Bridges, is certainly a welcome and powerful addition to that. But for you, as a journalist, as an activist, as an educator, and in this case as a broadcaster as well, what what's your sense, having dealt with BAI over the decades as you have, about the importance of this kind of platform in our community, especially now as we move into this information communications age in the 2020s?
Well, you know, I think what you're doing this evening is absolutely exemplary of the history and the connection that I've had with that station for too many years. I mean, you don't want me to get into how many years. Anyway, I've been, being the octogenarian that I am, you can imagine I've heard thousands of broadcasts over BAI. Yes. I think I've been a part of at least 200 or 300 of them myself over the years.
I am sure.
And
I'm
always, I think the broadcasts, I mean, the various producers, the people who, the engineers there, to say nothing of the administrators, and all of my comrades who have joined me on the air there, I think they kind of symbolize the kind of stature and character that the that radiates from BAI. I figure that we say listener sponsored, but you know, you've got a number of listeners out there who have also, you've been tremendous contributors to this station. And yep. And I think one of the things that what we've offered as premiums over the years, that in itself, like, is an extraordinary library, a collection of things. I remember right. when the whole James Baldwin and Malcolm X, you know, we've had these historical moments in which Paul Robeson is just the latest iteration of that. And I was just listening to the coming on the air and hearing some of the accounts, I guess, from the premium you're offering now. And,
yes.
And that in itself, you know, began to get a large segment of the history of this country from a radical political standpoint. And
yes,
that has been like the hallmark, you know, in terms of representing the militancy, the radicalism, the thing, the untold stories of the American history. BAI has stepped up and done that.
They won't get into
classrooms, you know.
No, unless you're in Herb Boyd's classroom, you know.
Yeah, right. I brought that stuff into my classroom, in fact.
I know. I've heard, no question.
Indeed.
We're going to go back to the revolutionary Paul Robeson in a moment, but I just want to say again, for those of you who are listening, these are very special moments that happen at WBAI, but they happen on a regular level, but they can only continue to happen with the support that you give us. You have several different ways that you can actually tap into supporting the radio station, starting, first of all, at our donation site, give2WBAI.org. That's give2WBAI.org. The telephone number, which has, as they say, back to the number that I can remember, 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. For those of you who'd like to call, and as I indicated before, some of you can do the 150 straight up on your credit card or, you know, your PayPal, whatever. But for some of you, maybe you want to set up a payment plan, whatever. We want you to have this material as a part of your home edutainment center. It's really part of the edutainment mission that we are all on here at the WBAI and Radio GBE family. In terms of the thing that you just heard Herb Boyd do, Herb took you from a moment of Paul Robeson himself all up and through the family tree, right? I mean, hey, Herb, I heard about a month's worth of programs just in that presentation that you did right there. And that's where we are.
Oh,
that's where we are.
And I think, you know, that's inspirational. Paul was such a tremendous inspirational person. I mean, he had this that magnetism, the charisma that attracted, you know, audiences wherever he went. I mean, for him to walk into a room, I think Mary McLeod Bethune said it very well, and you kind of paraphrased it, that he was the tallest tree in the forest. You know,
yes.
so tall,
yes.
in fact, that the Russians embraced him and named a mountain after him. I haven't been to that mountain, but to show you how the impact that he had on world culture. And when they stripped him of his passport, as they did with Du Bois, you know, it began to, again, signify just how dangerous he was in terms of bringing, you know, racial equality, to bring the kind of tolerance that was so absolutely necessary as a part of his regimen. And as an entertainer, unsurpassed. As an athlete, incredible, insurmountable. You know, as a political activist, unparalleled. I mean, so you have all of these extraordinary aspects of this man that gave him almost like damn near superhuman powers, man. And it was too much for the United States government, too, when they brought him before you act. And you had some elements of that doing your broadcast and how he defied them and make him kind of like, you know, dismiss the American and be unpatriotic and everything and jump on Jackie Robinson. They kind of brought Jackie Robinson out to kind of but Paul said, no, I'm not going to be baited into that kind of thing. We know what you're doing and the red baiting that you were doing at that time. They also charged him with sedition and treason, the whole Smith Act. I remember my friend out of Detroit, Attorney George Crockett, that became Representative George Crockett, was Paul's lawyer. And he was with me when we had that tribute with Dr. Charles Wright that the museum is named after in Detroit. He was like, he wrote a beautiful book on Paul Robeson, you know, the champion of justice, the whole Peekskill event. He captures that very well in his book when all of these right-wing reactionary individuals attacked Paul when he was trying to talk about, you know, what needed to be done in this country in terms of eradicating the white supremacy and the systemic racism. And Paul was on top of those things long before Black Lives Matter. Matter of fact, they need to hook it up and find out how those two things are related. And we know, though, and I think your listeners are BAI, you know, they're probably the most educated listeners, the most politically active listeners we'll find on the planet, man. So when they're hearing this kind of stuff and they're given the call and to step up to the plate and throw down that cash and keep this station alive, they know it. That's self-interest. That's a self-interest on their part.
It's the truth.
That's
just the truth.
That's what we live for. That's what we breathe for.
Without question.
Floyd and Eric Garner talk about they can't breathe. Well, we feel a foot on our necks, too. And
that's
we're saying
real.
That this is a form of getting the education to give us that living, breathing inspiration to fight on for social equality and justice.
My brother, you've given me a metaphor that I'm going to work with, because I think that's the closest we can get is the recognition that, try to imagine, if you will, in this tri-state domain that we're in, not having a WBAI, that would be like not being able to breathe. Okay, I mean, for real.
Oh my goodness!
You know, that's what that's about. You brought that up inside of my consciousness, because that's really what it's like. So many times, I think there are conversations that we have with people who are, as you just mentioned, part of the BAI network. You know, and they're plugged into so many different dimensions. But you can always tell when you're talking to someone who's not plugged into that network, because they aren't a part of that information stream that those of us who are plugged into BAI have been a part of over the course of the decades and continuing right to the 2020s, that keeps us on the cutting edge of things like COVID-19, or certainly the politics of the day that we've dealt with, obviously, here in a very appropriate way. The fact is, I think I remember someone said, like, hey, man, just shut up, just for one moment, don't say anything on the station. Let it be silent. Okay? I said, that's the moment. That's the moment you don't want to happen. For all of you who are listening, that's the moment you don't want to turn to this position and either hear nothing or, if you will, hear country and Western music or something. I mean, you know, there's a lot of possibilities in this communications business. The fact of the matter is that the only reason that we can do what we do is because you do what you do and your support for WBAI. 212-209-2950. That's it. And, of course, WBAI online. Give to WBAI.org. Brother Herb, giving thanks, man. As always.
Oh,
as always,
you.
Brother. Hey, man, appreciate you.
Hey, Paul
much.
Robeson, forever. Thank
forever.
You.
Forever. Forever. Imhotep, Gary Bird's Radio, GBE, Mind Flight, Gateway to the Black Experience, our brother Herb Boyd, Hall of Fame award-winning journalist, best-selling author, and of course, as you know, award-winning author and writer for the New York Amsterdam News as well. Herb joins us on Friday evenings on our Radio GBE at 7:30 p.m. with our What's Going On segment, and we come back with it in terms of part two on Sunday nights in the Mind Flight. And as some of y'all know, we're down the dial on BLS, and we do a morning show there as well. We got a lot of platforms going and trying to keep the information flowing. Tonight we're saluting the great Paul Robeson, actor, singer, athlete, minister, activist, born right here in the tri-state on April 9th in 1898. We salute his spirit tonight with an incredible production from Building Bridges, the revolutionary Paul Robeson, 4 DVDs, 2 CDs, a donation of just $150. It's tax deductible. Break it up any way you need to. Do your PayPal. Do whatever you do. But donate in the name of this radio broadcast and this radio station, WBAI. And now back to the revolutionary, Paul Robeson, the largest tree in the forest.
Now, Mr. Robeson.
Do I have the privilege of asking who's addressing me?
I'm Richard Ahrens.
What is your position?
I'm director of the staff. Did you file a passport application in July 2, 1954?
I filed about 25 in the last few months.
In July of 1954, were you requested to submit a non-communist affidavit?
Under no conditions would I think of signing such an affidavit. It is a contradiction of the rights of American citizens.
Are you now a member of the Communist Party?
Oh, please, please, please.
Please answer, will you, Mr. Robeson?
What is the Communist Party? What do you mean by that?
Are you now a member of the Communist Party?
Would you like
Party?
To come to the ballot box when I vote and take out the ballot and see?
Mr. Chairman, I respectfully suggest the witness be directed to answer the question.
You are directed to answer the question.
I invoke the Fifth Amendment and forget it.
I respectfully suggest the witness be directed to answer the question whether, if he gave us a truthful answer, he would be supplying information which might be used against him in a criminal proceeding.
You are directed to answer, Mr.
Gentlemen,
Robeson.
In the first place, wherever I have been in the world, the first to die in the struggle against fascism were the communists. I laid many wreaths upon the graves of communists. That is not criminal. Chief Justice Warren has been very clear that the Fifth Amendment does not have anything to do with the inference of criminality, and I invoke the Fifth Amendment.
Have you ever been known under the name of John Thomas?
Oh, please, does somebody here want me to put up for perjury someplace? John Thomas, my name is Paul Robeson, and anything I have to say, I have said in public all over the world, and that is why I'm here today.
Mr. Chairman, I ask that you direct the witness to answer the question he's making a
statement. I ask you to affirm or deny the fact that your Communist Party name was
I
John Thomas.
I invoke the Fifth Amendment. This is really ridiculous.
The witness talks very loud when he makes a speech, but when he invokes the Fifth Amendment, I can't hear him.
I have medals for diction. Right. I can talk plenty loud.
Will you talk a little louder?
I invoke the Fifth Amendment loudly.
Sir, who are Mr. and Mrs. Vladimir
Nikiev? I invoke the Fifth Amendment.
Do you know a Manning Johnson?
I invoke the Fifth Amendment.
Do you know Gregory Kifetz?
I invoke the Fifth Amendment.
Do you know a Max Juergen?
I invoke the Fifth Amendment.
Max Juergen.
Why don't you have these people here to be cross-examined? Could I ask whether this is legal?
This is not only legal, but usual. By unanimous vote, this committee has been instructed to perform this very distasteful task.
To whom am I talking?
You're speaking to the chairman of the committee.
To Mr. Walter?
Yes.
The Pennsylvania Walter?
That is right.
Representative of the steel workers?
That is right.
And the coal mining workers?
That is right.
Not United States Steel, by any chance. Our great patriot?
That is right.
You are the author of the bills that are going to keep all kinds of decent people out of the country.
No, only your kind.
Colored people like myself? And you would let in the Teutonic Anglo-Saxon stock.
We are trying to make it easier to get rid of your kind, too.
You don't want any colored people to come in. Could I be allowed to read from my statement?
Will you just tell this committee, please, while under oath, Mr. Robeson, the communist who participated in the preparation of that statement?
Oh, please. The reason I'm here today, from the mouth of the State Department itself, is I should not be allowed to travel because I have struggled for the independence of the colonial peoples of Africa. The other reason I'm here today, again, from the State Department and from the record of the Court of Appeals, is that when I am abroad, I speak out against injustices against the Negro people in this land. That is why I'm here. I'm not being tried for whether I'm a communist. I'm being tried for fighting for the rights of my people, who are still second-class citizens in this country, in this United States of America. My mother was born in your state, and my mother was a Quaker. And my ancestors, in the time of Washington, baked bread for George Washington's troops when they crossed the Delaware. My father was a slave. I stand here struggling for the rights of my people to be full citizens in this country. And they are not. They are not in Mississippi. They are not in Montgomery, Alabama. They are not in Washington. They are nowhere. And that is why I am here today. You want to shut up every Negro who has the courage to stand up and fight for the rights of his people, for the rights of workers. And I have been on many a picket line for the steel workers, too. And that is why I'm here today.
Would you tell us whether or not you know Thomas W. Young?
I invoke the Fifth Amendment.
Thomas W. Young is a Negro president of the Guide Publishing Company. I'd like to read you his testimony. Quote, Paul Robeson has no moral right to place in jeopardy the welfare of the American Negro to advance a foreign cause. In the eyes of the Negro people, this false prophet is unfaithful to their country, and they repudiate him, close quote. Do you know the man that said that?
I invoke the Fifth Amendment now. Can I read my statement? It is a sad and bitter comment.
While you were in Paris in 1949, Mr. Robeson, did you tell an audience the American Negro would never go to war against the Soviet government?
May I say that is slightly out of context. May I explain to you what I did say? I remember the speech very well. 2,000 students who came from populations that would range to 600 or 700 million people asked me to say in their name that they did not want war. No part of my speech in Paris says 15 million American Negroes would do anything. I said it was my feeling that the American people would struggle for peace, and that has been since underscored by the President of these United States. Now, in passing, I said...
Any people who want war?
Listen to me. I said it was unthinkable to me that any people could take up arms in the name of a man like Senator Eastland of Mississippi against anybody. Gentlemen, I still say that. This United States government should go to Mississippi and protect my people. That is what it should do.
I lay before you, sir, an article. Quote, I am looking for full freedom, unquote, by Paul Robeson in The Worker. July 3rd, 1949, quote, I said it was unthinkable that the Negro people of America or elsewhere could be drawn into war with the Soviet Union. I repeat it with a hundredfold emphasis, they will not, close quote.
And, gentlemen, they have not. It is clear that no Americans are going to go to war with the Soviet Union.
While you were in Stockholm, did you make a little speech?
I made all kinds of speeches.
Let me read you a quotation.
Let me listen.
Do so, please.
I am a lawyer.
It would be a revelation if you would listen to the counsel.
In good company, I usually listen. But you know, people wander around in such fancy places.
You said, Mr. Robeson, and I quote, I belong to the American resistance movement, which fights against American imperialism, just as the resistance movement fought against Hitler.
Just like Douglas and Harriet Tubman were underground railroaders and fighting for our freedom, you bet your life.
I have to insist that you listen to these questions.
I am listening.
I quote further, why should the Negroes ever fight against the only nation in the world where racial discrimination is prohibited and where the people can live freely? Never. They will never fight against either the Soviet Union or the people's democracies, close quote. Did you make that statement?
I do not remember, but what is perfectly clear today is that 900 million people, other colored people, have told you they will not. 400 million in India and millions everywhere have told you that.
The witness has answered the question. He doesn't need to make a speech.
Did you write an article that was published in the USSR Information Bulletin?
Yes.
Quote, I want to emphasize that only here in the Soviet Union did I feel that I was a real man with a capital M, close quote.
I would say, what is your name?
Aaron.
I am quite willing to answer the question. when I was a singer years ago, and this you will have to listen to.
I am listening.
I am a bass singer, and so for me, it was Chelyapin, the great Russian bass, not Caruso the tenor. I learned the Russian language to sing their songs. I wish you would listen now.
Mr. Chairman, I ask you to direct the witness to answer the question.
Just be fair with me.
I ask for order.
The great poet of Russia is of African blood.
Well, let's not go so far afield.
It is important to explain this.
Did you make that statement?
When I first went to Russia in 1934...
Did you make that statement?
When I first went to Russia in 1934...
Did you make that statement?
In Russia, I felt for the first time like a full human being. No color prejudice like in Mississippi. No color prejudice like in Washington. It was the first time I felt like a human being. Well, I do not feel the pressure of color as I feel it in this committee today.
Why do you not stay in Russia?
Because my father was a slave, and my people died to build this country. And I'm going to stay here and have a part of it just like you, and no fascist-minded people will drive me from it. Is that clear?
You are here because you are promoting the communist cause.
I am here because I'm opposing the neo-fascist cause, which I see arising in these committees.
You've heard the expression real talk, okay? Real talk. History. There is a place where, in relationship to the House Un-American Activities Committee, as some referred to it, where you are hearing the dynamics of racism blatantly expressed, and in this instance, with a level of viciousness in the attack. This was the time, this was the era that the late Paul Robeson was in. This is the time and era that so many of our GBEs, giants of the black experience, suffered, endured, and ultimately laid a pathway for us to be where we are today in 2021, still fighting the good fight. But you can only fight it if you have the level of energy, the level of inspiration, and the level of recognition to know those who came before laid a pathway for you to obtain victory. Victorious thought is what it's all about. And that's what you get from this incredible premium for just a $150 donation. The revolutionary Paul Robeson. 4 DVDs and 2 CDs. You could talk about it. You could try to explain it to somebody. But there's nothing like the seeing, the hearing it, again, in your own home edutainment center. We'll do our best to try to cover, if you will, the information that ultimately is going to be able to take us through the days ahead. Paul Robeson certainly laid a powerful foundation for it. This portrait of his remarkable and revolutionary life, and through it the story of the 20th century's great political struggles against racism, against colonialism, against poverty, and for international socialism, is yours inside of Radio GBE for a donation of, again, just $150. It's tax deductible. And don't forget, as we said before, you can break it up in payment plan, whatever you like. And obviously, we have a number of different ways for you to do that in terms of PayPal and so forth. Visit our donation site, give to the number 2, WBAI.org. And of course, call us at 212-209-2950. And make sure that you are a part of the solution and you are a part of the management team that ultimately is going to take WBAI into the 2020s, empowering the community. Don't forget, BAI is free speech community radio, supported by your tax-deductible contributions. And any contribution of $25 or more automatically makes you a member of WBAI.
WPFW in Washington and WBAI in New York, I'm Amara Evering with some brief news headlines. Attorney General Merrick Garland says he wants $85 million in additional funding to expand the Justice Department's work combating domestic terrorism. The funding would be split between the FBI for investigations into domestic terrorism and U.S. attorneys for their management of those cases. Garland is also asking for an extra $232 million to fight gun violence and $304 million for community policing programs. Garland testified about the DOJ budget before a House Appropriations Subcommittee today. Garland emphasized the dangers of gun violence to the committee, saying, quote, "Gun deaths continue to occur at staggering rates in our country. There is more that we could do to make our communities safer. This is both a law enforcement and a public health issue." However, in the committee meeting, there was blowback to this proposal, notably from Representative Robert Brown Aderholt, who said, quote, "If the Department of Justice truly wants to address gun crime, it must not waste his precious resources on these liberal feel-good programs." A trial began yesterday in a lawsuit filed in West Virginia accusing three drug distributors of fueling a local opioid epidemic with excessively large shipments of painkillers over several years. Brought by the city of Huntington and Cabo County in West Virginia, the complaint alleges the companies distributed a combined total of over 57 million doses of hydrocodone and oxycodone to a community of only 100,000 people between the years 2006 and 2014. In 2018, West Virginia had one of the highest opioid-involved overdose death rates in the country. This landmark trial